We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever you're listening to this, it's the Dice It Up show, and we're doing it for the first time together in person.
Like you're here.
Yes.
He's real. I was not getting catfished.
No. Well, I mean, super exciting. I got to meet you in person this week, and I guess I enjoyed it so much that I'm like, all right, New York was cool. Let me head out to Mohegan Sun for the Friday night game between the Sun and the Fever.
Yep.
Watching you do your job is always cool, but hanging out with you is even better.
100%. Right back at you.
Hey.
We had a good time in New York.
We did.
To catch up with Pepper in person. That was awesome. And then just chatted after. Not the best of games.
No.
But it was cool, though. Saw a lot of cool people in New York. Always love going back to New York. I just need to go home after because I'm not much of a city girl.
You know, we'll get you. Like, we'll just spend one weekend in the summer when things are popping.
Mm.
You know, get some great food,
yeah.
Some Italian. We also did have a drink together. That was great.
Sure did.
Yeah, only one. It was a school night.
Safe. We got home safe. It's all good.
Yeah, you had to drive all the way back to New Jersey.
I know. My mother was worried about me. She's like, I didn't know you were home. Literally the next day, she texts me, 11 o'clock. She's like, hey, are you coming home today? Mom, I've been home.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she's so serious. She's like, what? Really? I'm like, you didn't see the car that you know, when you went to work this morning, like you missed the car. She's like, I guess not. And in her defense, my parents did just get back from Germany. They went to visit my brother for his last game in his season overseas. He plays soccer. And so I guess she like is still recovering because I definitely got home last night and was home during the day. And she did not think I was home.
It's probably because you're super light on your feet when you walk in the door. You got in real late. I mean, I watched a bunch of your highlights this week and you're super quick. You know, it's like a defender doesn't know when you cut back door. You're so light.
That's vintage ice. Vintage ice was quick before the second ACL surgery. Ice now is deceptively quick. It's the first step. It's just the first one. It's all you need though, sometimes.
Yeah, I got told that a lot as a non-athlete.
You did? We talked about this. Yeah. Yeah, being deceptively fast or quick. We did talk about this.
Yeah, with Pepper, right?
Yep, yeah. Sure did.
Well, you know, you took both your ACLs in college or one in high school?
One was in high school.
Okay.
And the second one was in college. Yep, same right knee.
Dang, couldn't drive.
It's a trooper. I love that's the first thing you thought about. Like, not that I was in pain and somebody cut me and I, you know, like had to learn how to rewalk and stuff, but like,
yeah,
you couldn't drive.
You know, I'm always looking out. So how's the rest of her life affected? You know, we only think about on the court so many times.
This is true. This is definitely true.
So high school, what year did you take your ACL?
2014.
So were you a freshman, sophomore, junior?
I was a senior. as a senior. Yep. And then I have went straight to college after that. So my first year in college, like, I was in rehab.
Wait, so you already committed before that? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fully committed.
Good thing you were so talented. Didn't have to worry.
That's a good point. Yeah, that is a good point, because things are not the same these days. Yeah. They aren't, in terms of just transfer portal.
Oh, my God.
Coming in left and right. Like, it feels like no one is ever really safe.
That's true. In terms
of college recruiting. Yeah.
Very true. I mean, it's a good segue into our upcoming guest, which you know personally from recruiting.
Yep.
I know from covering. I mean, he's an absolute gem of a human being, one of the best coaches in the game, and just a pure soul.
Coach Tony Bozzello is just awesome. There are a couple of coaches I have met through recruiting, and I have always been mad that I never played for them. Like, there are a couple. There's like Heather Volan. She's at Manhattan. She recruited me when she's an assistant at Villanova. And just never got to play for her, but we have such a great relationship every time I see her. Coach Tony is the same, has been super supportive, especially once I started broadcasting, with just, you know, trying to get me to Seton Hall and to call some games. But again, never play for these people, but just the relationships you make through recruiting, it's tough. It's like dating, you know, it's like speed dating when you're getting recruited, you know, like you're team, coach, you know, you're creating these relationships. And then at some point you got to make the calls where it's like, hey, I appreciated getting so close to you, but I'm not going to see you for the next 4 years, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'll see you on the road when we play your team once randomly, or when I go to the Final Four for this, you know, conference or whatever. So it's like hard. Like I cried. I remember a couple conversations being like, dang, like my relationship with this coach is going to change. And you know,
You seem like the type that doesn't want to let people down.
Yeah, it's tough, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough.
I mean, delivering any bad news to somebody,
yeah,
for sure. And especially because, like, during that recruiting period, especially, like, I think I remember playing, it's like, oh, my God, these coaches are so nice. And then you go play for them, and you're like, Jesus, take a practice, you know? I am not being fed the spoonful of sugar anymore. It's real.
Oh, no, 100%. 100%. But then you appreciate the coaches who recruit. You like that.
Yeah.
Who let you know, like, hey, listen. Want to get to know you as a person, as a player, but at the same time, once you step into our program, it's going to be tough. And you need that. I think, you know, me, like a Jersey girl, like, you know, grew up with tough coaches, colorful coaches is what I like to call it. And so you kind of want an atmosphere that resembles that, you know? And so all the coaches that I played for definitely had, I think, that category of just tough, you know, they demand a lot out of you, but at the same time, end of the day, like, you're still the person, they still care.
I love that.
Yeah, that's the goal, that's what you want.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
Now, like, Coach Pizzella talked a lot about, you know, using the transfer portal, and the success they've had with that. You can relate. Being at a number of different programs.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, from the player perspective, what's it like being recruited as a transfer? How does it work?
Yeah, I would say you know, it's kind of the same. You go into the transfer portal, so your name pops up, you know, you'll get some emails or text messages or things like that. I think in my experience, it was always the coaches who I had relationships with before, you know, and some of them are in the same place. Some of them are different places, but that always kind of gives them, you know, a leg up to know that, hey, I've connected with you before. I've communicated with you before. You know, my game has stayed the same or it's gotten better. And I'm just looking for a better opportunity to do the same thing that I've been wanting to do. So I would say it was the same. I just say the only thing really that you have to think about is just one, adapting. You know, I went to four different colleges, right? And so going from campus to campus to campus, meeting new people, being in new places on a new team, new systems, you know, I credit a lot of that into how I'm able to call games and know different actions and things and kind of be well-rounded in that way, is because I literally play for a lot of different systems with coaches who were very good, right? So that was a blessing in disguise, but you've got to be able to adapt. And then I think it's just, you know, having honest conversations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really want, if you're transferring, you don't want the spoonful of sugar and to be like, hey, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. I want you to tell me exactly why you need me, why you think you're going to play me, and how it will look. And it just has to be an honest conversation. And if it's not what you want, then I think there are so many schools and so many places where you can find what you want, or you can get pretty close.
Yeah. Did you take visits to any of them?
Let me think. I did. I remember I did visit Syracuse. And halfway through the visit, like, my parents had kind of looked at me and I was looked at them like, yeah, like, I think this is it. Fordham, I don't think I remember taking a visit. But that was really like a basketball decision I made. And so it really kind of didn't matter. But yeah. I think I definitely did meet them before. Oh, I did. I did take a visit to meet them before. But at that point, I was, you know, like pretty confident. You know, this is a place I can go for basketball and kind of get the opportunity that I want.
Get the street cred with the Boogie Down Bronx.
Add that
to your repertoire. 100%.
And then Sienna, I did not take a visit. We just, you know, Coach Jack's meeting her over Zoom and the team. It was also COVID. So it was kind of like, it was COVID. You can't really, you know, visit. You don't really know protocols yet. And a credit to that one, I had just come off of tearing my ACL twice. So I was recovering. So when they were recruiting me, like I hadn't gotten back on the court and played in a game. I was still just training and finishing up rehab. So that's another reason why I love Coach Jack so much, because like she really took a chance on me.
Yeah.
You know, I was in my seventh year, tore my ACL twice, 25 years old. And she's like, yeah, I need to win. And like, I need a leader who can come and do it. I'm like, all right. I mean, we're going to test this knee out as we do it. But it ended up being, you know, a good experience for both of us, I think.
Love that.
And on to better things now. So, but yeah, so you visit and you don't, but you know, it just depends on what your reasoning is for transferring, and you got to focus on that.
Yeah.
I tell people now, if I do it all over again, you just got to go where you're loved. That's it. It's like anything else. It really is like a relationship. You got to go where you're loved. I think if I had picked schools where I was loved and where I had really created those relationships that were longstanding, my career might've been different.
Yeah.
But I don't trade it. I like my career. I like the whole 7 years, four schools.
It led us to right here.
Yeah, we're here with Dano in person.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that. Like, I think when you're in a good situation mentally too and emotionally, like that only helps your game.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you play for somebody who is like just feeding you emotionally. I don't know why I've never really thought about that. I guess I had different priorities playing in Division III.
Yeah.
But that's wild.
It's still recruiting though, you know. People recruit every day. Obviously you recruit for companies and different things like that, and that's the thing I like too about recruiting and the college aspect of being on a team and organization. It does prepare you for the professional world, for entering the workplace, you know, and understanding, okay, these are the things you do and don't do, and this is kind of the processes of it all. It really helped me in that way too, just I think, you know, coming out and feeling like I'm a little bit more professional and I'm ready to like enter the workforce if I really wanted to.
I love that.
I'm like half in that now,
right?
Yeah, like half and half.
Best of both worlds for you, I think.
I don't.
Now Coach talked about culture, and I mean, I even said it's a cliche word, so before we wrap up here, like what does culture mean to you, being around all these different, you know, teams in Europe? Literally being like super heavily involved with the Connecticut Sun, for example, who I think have an awesome culture. You know, what is it? How would you define it?
Yeah, I think culture is, I don't know. To me, I think of it's energy.
Yeah.
You know, culture is energy, whether it's good energy, bad energy, judgmental energy, welcoming energy, like it's energy.
Yeah.
And I think as a guest somewhere, how people welcome you in, tells you about their culture. I truly do. And so for me, it's been all about energy. The places where have had the best culture, it's been good energy. It's good vibes. Like you're happy being in practice, even though it's your fourth practice in 4 days. And like, you know, you're going to be there for 4 hours, you know, but it's like energy. You've got good culture here coming in and like, okay, we've got crazy travel schedule tomorrow and this and that, but everybody's still, hey, good morning. How are you? Pumped, ready to go, because we know we're going to go on the road and get a win, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's just about energy. And like I said, you know, culture comes from within. It is not set. I truly don't believe it is set by like the leader. It comes from the employees, the players.
People at center.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I definitely get the vibes of a good culture here. Like just watching you interact with the team after the game in New York, I was just like, oh my God, like, they're approaching you. And then of course I took some shots on the court at Barclays afterwards and hit a few threes. I want to say 2 for 3.
Cause I couldn't help it. Don't tell Brendan that. Don't tell Brendan I missed one.
Well, I think I was like 0 for 5. The lights, it was the lights.
The depth perception in there. Everyone in the Barclays, it's different. Yeah. It's different.
A lot of respect for them.
Yeah.
But anyways, so calling a game tonight.
Yeah.
This will be we're publishing the show on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then we won't be back next week because I'm going on my honeymoon.
Love it. Where are you going again? Tell the people.
going to
Santorini. Santorini, Greece. Shout out to Greece.
Going to Split in Croatia.
Okay.
And then ending it with my buddy Dane is getting married in Portugal.
Come on, Dane. Love that. Come on, Dane. I'm jealous. Let me know if y'all need a plus one, you know, like.
Well, yeah, I mean, you
in the middle of the sun game. Yeah, I can like pop in Santorini for like a day and then come back. Hey. Call a game and
now,
where we go next? I don't even know.
I will say, I've always, like in the South, like I always would hear people that like can't schedule a wedding during college football season. Now I'm just like, I cannot believe I scheduled a honeymoon during the NBA season. And I just love that for me.
Yeah, I love that I have that feeling. That. You cannot schedule anything during WNBA season.
No.
It's too quick. It's right here, in and out. And we're like pushing games, pushing good content. Shout out to WNBA though. It has been really fun to watch just the league and everything around that. I'm so happy to be a part of it, just covering it. And shout out to you, Liberty fan, always there covering it. Loyal.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, a plug, spread the floor. We're having a really good season.
This is
you know, got some great, great knowledge within the team at Her Hoop Stats as a whole. And then on the sports betting aspect, which you can't do as a WMA employee, but I can. So I love that aspect. So watching the Liberty games can be a little tough right now. We've got a lot of injuries. Your girl Joss hurt, but you know, we'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe it. Well, we have one of my favorite coaches that I have never played for coming up as a guest for us, and Coach Tony Bozzello at Seton Hall Women's Basketball. Loved our conversation with him. So you guys check it up. Check it out. Sorry. It's coming up next. And we'll see you back in a couple weeks after the world traveler gets back from his honeymoon.
All right. We'd like to now welcome on the head coach of Seton Hall's basketball team. Do I call you Tony or Anthony?
Yeah, good. Tony's right. Great.
Now I feel like I've always wondered that. Head coach Tony Bozzella of the Seton Hall Pirates. Coach, thanks for coming on with us today.
I'm so excited. I've seen Isis play. I've talked to her on the phone. This is just exciting for me to talk to her again. And you do great work. I'm excited for this a lot. And thanks for having me on.
What's up, Coach? We appreciate you making time while you're recruiting. I know it's a big recruiting weekend. Where actually are you right now?
I am in Atlantic City. My next game is shortly, but I had a break here. And then I'm flying to Dallas I'm doing that tomorrow. So I'll be in Atlantic City and Dallas this weekend. And I have staff all over the place, North Carolina. I don't even know where they are, Florida. So we're all over the place.
Awesome. AC is pretty cool. A nice little small stop, not super far from where you're coming from.
Exactly. It was a nice drive. Yep. And we were able to get all settled and do everything and then be able to watch some games in a little bit.
Good.
Yeah, I'm really loving that you're recruiting out of the Texas area. I'm a Houston born and raised, and then went to play D3 ball at Southwestern University. But the Texas pool of talent is pretty big.
Oh, it's tremendous. And it's something that we've had some, you know, success with in the past. And we want to continue to build on that. We want to become, obviously a national brand as well. And while we have some great local players here in Jersey and all over, we want to expand a little bit too. And especially now with the transfers and everything, you want to be able to have as much interaction with as many kids as possible.
Yeah. I mean, Texas has good hoopers, but like, it's nothing like Jersey hoopers. You know that though.
Jersey's the best, and trying to keep here, ISIS. It's hard. It really is.
It's okay though. It's all love.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Jersey. I mean, after, you know, starting this show with ISIS, I had to go watch a lot of her highlights. Just tremendously impressed, but I feel like when she wears a headband, she gets an extra lift in her step.
You know, I could see that, but I've always been very impressed with her game and her passion and her competitiveness and her drive. You know, it's something we look for in our players as well. I mean, that's kind of a Seton Hall person, straight basketball player.
I appreciate that, Coach. But yeah, you guys are always tough as nails. Everyone that you get, especially transfers, you do really well with transfers every year. And just everyone you get always seems to fit the mold of Seton Hall basketball.
Thank you. And we've done a good job. My associate head coach is, I think, the best in the country at the transfer portal, because everyone's like, oh, it's the same. It's not. You have to identify a player and see how that person will fit in, get to know that player beforehand. And then when we bring them up, I think we're able to show them how they fit in, you know, to our system. And in terms of, you know, this is who you'll be replacing. This is where you go. This is what you'll do. I see this is what you've accomplished at your last school, but we can get this out of you. And she does a great job, Lauren DeFalco, of identifying that. And I think when they come on campus, I've had a lot of experience coaching transfers. And I think you have to, because they're coming in here, they already have a certain game to them. And as you know, and they have a certain way of playing. So if I want to change that way of playing, it'll never work. I have to accept what they do, believe in what they do. And really what I try and do is reestablish their confidence. I think a lot of transfers come in and they've either been beaten down or not played or been injured, whatever the case may be. And my job is to reestablish their confidence. And they have ability. I just have to get them to believe in their ability once again and into a system that I think we can do well in. And my offense coordinator, Jose Rubimbas, always identifies certain things. So we have a good teamwork of staff that helps do it.
Yeah, coach, I love that. I think reestablishing confidence is right on point. As someone obviously who has transferred into multiple schools, your newest addition to your coaching staff did that for me. And Coach Allie Jacks, she reestablished my confidence to the highest it had ever been in my career, which is why I got overseas. And so you saying that, lets me know that she's a perfect fit for you guys, because that is literally what it is as a transfer. You need that.
Thank you. And when I told her I was going on with you, she was so excited. And she, you know, really, really spoke highly of you. Not a really, yes, as a player, but really as a person. You came in, you really helped get that group together, really make them a team, you know, by your leadership, by the way you played, by how hard you played, by what you had been through, how you spoke to the younger kids. I mean, she went over all that with me, and she's like, Isis was perfect, not just as a basketball player, but as a person. And that says a lot about you. And that's what we try and do. We've had, you know, some transfers come in and play well, but we've had also transfers that have come in and helped reform the program.
Yeah, that's important. Like you said, I think in this day and age, like, transfers become everything. You can literally have a completely different team next year, like obviously you would know, and take your team to the WNIT championship off of big transfers.
That, and yep. And, you know, obviously, Sydney Cooks, Andre Espinosa-Hunter, Katie Armstrong, Bembry, all huge parts of that. Yeah. You know, now the person who drove the engine was a kid we recruited out of high school, 100%. Lauren Park Lane, and we'd be nowhere without her. She is unbelievably a great player, but just an amazing person. We're recruiting in Dallas this week, and she's like, all right, you want to come over to the house for dinner? I'm like, because that's what she moved to. Like, she's an amazing kid. She's like, my mom will cook, and what do you want? And this, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, you know, there's not too many kids that do that. And, you know, she's raised the right way. You know, Therese and Jack are amazing parents. And Lauren was just like, yeah, we can do this. And Lauren, I got to watch some games. She's like, yeah, I'll go do that for you too. And she's like, I can go early. I'm like, no, it's okay. Don't worry. But she wants to coach one day, and she's going to be great.
She would be great. I can see that in her identity on the floor. 100% would coach some of the best guards in the country.
Yeah, she's our chief recruiter. I joke with Lauren was our recruiting coordinator. Now Allie Jacks is. I said, you guys don't got to worry about it. Lauren Park Lane has it. Every transfer we brought up, she's like, she sits with them, she takes them to lunch, she goes over our program, says what we believe in. You know, a lot of the kids, she'll come back and be like, Coach B, this is a perfect fit. This is a perfect fit. And there's a few kids she's come back and say it's really not our fit. And I trust her 100%. And as you know, Isis, kind of what you did at Siena, when you can get the whole group to follow you, and that's kind of what that's what she's done. And now she's taking a lot of ownership in our program by being our chief recruiter when these kids come on campus. It's really said a lot about the culture that we have at Seton Hall and what she's helped establish, along with even Andre Espinosa-Hunter before she graduated. And even having a kid like Katie Armstrong, she did not have a statistical great year, but how she helped form this group, her and Sydney Cooks, was fantastic as well.
Yeah. I think buying in, especially at the college level, And now that I'm seeing at the pro level too, it's all about the players. Like you obviously start your culture with that one player or that one team, but it's a credit to you on how it's passed down, and it's passed down through players. Like players set the tone for culture. It is really not coaches when you really think about it and you're in it. It is 100% players who just pass that on. And I'm so glad that you've been blessed with, you know, Lauren to be able to do that, because it shows literally you guys have a great culture. You can tell when you watch that you're in it, you're bought in, you're 100% one unit. And that's why you had so much success last year.
I appreciate those words as much as any interview I've ever been on. And I couldn't agree with you more. The culture is about, thank you. The culture is about the players though. Everyone's like, how's your culture? Well, our culture is really good because our best player wants to be involved in every recruit, wants to be involved in every little thing, wants to win every drill in practice. Like, you know, is excited to play any basketball game. I'm like, well, we're going to go play, you know, Georgia this year. Great. Can't wait to go. Like, not like, oh, geez, they're really good. Or we have UConn on Friday. She's like, I can't wait. We're going to do this. Not like, oh, geez, they're really good. You know, it was funny. Gino said something to me. He's like, you know, your team your team challenges us as much as any team. And I say, why? He's like, because you guys believe you can beat us. And he didn't mean that in a cocky or bad way. He just believed it. And that stems from Lauren, Andra, Sydney. And I think that's a big thing about our culture. And you're right, Isis, it starts with the players. And I appreciate those words. And they couldn't ring truer. People ask me a lot as I recruit these transfers, how's your culture? I said, you're going to meet our culture when you meet Lauren and Sydney and Andra and Katie and those kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing I noticed watching, you know, in person at the Big East tournament is like, Seton Hall is afraid of nobody. Like, this team is so dangerous. I mean, y'all were super hot. I think you won 11 of your last 12, I think going into the Big East tournament.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, you beat a team that went to the Elite Eight. Probably should have beat them twice. You know, that overtime game and, at Creighton, but I mean, just having that, you know, tenacity on the court mixed with good culture off the court, it's a recipe for success, easy.
Yeah, and like Isis said, everyone talks about this culture coming from me. I can establish certain things, but the culture is about the kids in the locker room and how they're bought into the program. She's couldn't be more correct in that. I'm not saying this to kiss butt or anything. She gets it. When Isis said that, that is what I've tried to explain to these people in this recruiting process. I can only do so much. What happens in the locker room, and if you don't want to play UConn, and if you don't feel like, you know, playing, you know, getting on a bus and at 6 a.m. like we did and flying to Nashville and busing to Murfreesboro and playing a game before 5,000 fans where they hadn't lost all year. If your culture is not good, you're not winning that game.
Yeah.
And the culture, that's what I talk about. Culture, some people think culture is going out, having ice cream, you know, what you're going to lose, everyone just being happy. No, that's not culture. That's phonyism. And as both of you know, in the real world, you have to be, you know, successful, but you need your team to want to be successful as much as anything.
Yeah. Coach, you make me want to be a coach. I'm over here fired up now. Like, oh, who can I influence tomorrow?
Well, I was going to say, you've been coaching for, you know, 30 years now. I mean, and obviously with, you know, technology and just kind of the changing generations of children and the way they're brought up, I don't think you see the same type of grit in every single player that you would see a long time ago. Like a lot of them are coddled, a lot of more rules. So, I mean, it's really hard to find those pieces and players that have that grit that fit the rest of the team's identity.
That was a really professional hot take of saying that the generations now are softer than the older ones.
I agree.
But a nice way to say it out loud.
See, your chemistry together is amazing. I love it. Like, this is like, you guys feed off each other so well, but you're right, Daniel. Like, I look at it a different way, though. I will say we start with that grit and that passion with the staff between Lauren and Jose and Pete and now Allie. My former assistant, Marissa, had played for me. She was great. I call her kid, but she was with me for 10 years. These people fought. And when they played really hard and they played tough. And sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. You know, with Coach Jack, she's an in-your-face type, you know, passionate kid. Person. And so was my associate head coach Lauren, and Jose, you know, came from the men's side, and it took him a little while to be like, wow, you know, it's all not the same. But he's like, when I find the ones that I love, they play, you know, the same passion, the same toughness as the men. But we started with our staff. These ladies that are great role models with Lauren, and now I have Shakina Richardson, a former player of mine on staff. She's amazing. I had Dee Dee Sim. She's now assistant at St. Bonaventure. These are amazing young ladies that really, had a great understanding of how you had to be successful with that grit, but are great role models. And not having Shakina on my staff right now, I think she's the ultimate role model for my staff, for my players. And she was a great player, played in WNBA, but more so just loves, just Seton Hall and being around the kids. And she's established a great rapport with our players.
Coach, as a head coach for over 30 years, what are you still learning?
I learn all the time. I'm blessed with a lot of former head coaches on my staff. Some people are like, wow, you're hiring Allie Jack. She's a head coach. You right there. It's like, no, I'm excited. She's going to bring something to the table. I always want to challenge myself, Isis. You can't just stay normal at this point or stay, well, this is the way we do it and we do it all the way. Yes, there are certain things that we do. We ask kids to work really hard. We do a lot of individual work. We do more individuals than any team in the country. That I can promise you. Coach Jose does a ton of them. He's always has the kids in the gym. Obviously, the rest of the staff joins him as well at times, but he's our leader in doing individuals. And he does an amazing job. He's a great teacher, and the whole staff teaches, but he has a great plan for each kid. And we all buy into that plan. So we do a lot. So I'm always trying to learn. Like Allie's going to bring some different drills, obviously show us, a great defense that the blizzard that you guys ran, I know it. So I said, when I was looking at different assistants, what can they all bring, to replace Marissa, who went on to overtime elite on the high school level. I want to learn all the time. And I think it's important that I'm learning how to deal with the players, deal with a different type of kid. Now, we still want to hold them accountable because I want them to be successful in life. But I want them to be able to come into my office still and talk and still be able to go to lunch and talk about life. And the head coaching culture is changing the landscape. We've had 155 women and 28 men hired in the last 183. Mm-hmm. Now, we can argue, is that good or bad? It's great because we're giving women and role models a chance. But I'm a role model too. We all had fathers at some point too. Mm-hmm. And I think my father, was a role model to me, but my mom was a great role model to me. And I didn't have to be a female to have my mom be a great role model to me. And I think we have a great mixture on our staff, but I want to be a role model for the girls. I want to work hard. I want to listen. I call it a partnership now. It's a marriage. Lauren and Sydney and some of the other leaders in our program, they sit in my office and we discuss everything from, how we're going to play the game in terms of man zone, who's going to guard who. We get their opinions on, do we leave it 11 a.m. and practice there? Do we leave at 5 p.m. and practice at our place? We ask these questions a lot. Now, ultimately, I have to make a decision, but it's a partnership and we're so invested in each other. I think that's what I try and do. And, when I was coaching Lauren and, Marissa and way back in the day, Shakina, she's a little earlier, a little later, but, I just said, this is what we're doing and this is what we do. Now it's more of a partnership because it is. And I find us to be a lot more invested. I mean, we did great in the transfer portal because our players recruited those kids when they got here.
Yeah.
So that's what I've learned. I've learned to make it a partnership more and to listen to them probably a lot more than I used to. But then to listen to me. And I explain myself a little more probably than a lot of other coaches because I want the girls to know why we're doing things.
Yeah, Coach, I think that's awesome. It's no surprise to me that you have been successful for so long and that you're just continuing and able to adapt. And I know from working with Coach Jax, she was like a best friend to me while I was in school. And it was 100% a partnership. We'd have timeouts late game and she'd be like, do I call timeout? And I'd be like, nah, let's just rock with it and let's hope it works out. And I think that's just the best way to go with players and to get the most out of them. You want them to feel like they were a factor in big decisions that were made. Credit to you. I've always loved you. I'm sad I could never play for you. But I'm sure, we'll keep crossing paths, but you always have a supporter in me because I think what you're doing is great.
Thank you. And I think we want to get the most out of the kids. Let's listen to them too. They're smart. They know what they're doing. It's not like these kids don't watch basketball or don't like I said, Long Park Lane's like, yeah, I'm gonna go over, I'm gonna watch games. I'm like, geez, you know, I mean, these kids are into it. Yeah. So why not, you know, listen, why not be a partnership? It makes it a lot more fun. This was the most fun I had in almost years coaching the team this year. And everyone's like, wow, because you went 24-13, went to the NIT. No, we were 8-10. We were struggling. They felt the pressure of being picked third in the Big East. I felt the pressure of, you know, a couple of these kids being seniors and wanting to do well. Yeah. And we had a long talk one day. It was like 4 or 5 hours in between our, we got blown out by Creighton, and we came off COVID. Creighton did a great job. They blew us out. And then we were playing Providence, and we must have talked for about 4 or 5 hours, like five of us. And, you know, I walked out of that being like, you know, the next couple of days can really mean our season. And, you know, Lauren Park Lane went out and scored 30 the next day. And then she just led us. She's like, I got it.
Yeah. And
it just changed it. But so it wasn't like everything wasn't, you know, roses all year. It was hard. But it wasn't because the kids were bad kids or didn't try or didn't do anything. It was the pressures, maybe the pressure of being picked high. Lauren was on the, you know, point guard watch list. Andre was on the forward watch list. Sydney Cooks is trying to reestablish herself as a top, she was one of the top five players in the country coming out of high school.
Yeah.
You know, there was pressure on that. You know, people were adjusting different roles. But we figured it out. And I'm proud of the girls for that. And they did it. And it was just an enjoyable year because of that. We just had fun. We really did.
And that makes me so excited that I'm in Manhattan, can just take the train over. I'm excited to watch a lot of games, hopefully covering as many as I can next season.
Yep. Tune in.
Thank you. We're excited. We obviously have Lauren back, Sydney back, five great transfers we signed. You know, Maya Bembry's back. She was a starter for us. And we got a couple kids back from injury. You know, we're going to be really, you know, talented and good. And we had a kid, Ali Palmieri, sit out too. So that's our sixth transfer. So we're really excited. We play a great schedule. We're renewing the New Jersey State rivalry with Rutgers. So we're excited. I don't know who's going to coach them, but we have some contact. So we're excited for that. Obviously, we're still playing Princeton, which Carla does a great job. Columbia with Megan Griffith. We're going to Virgin Islands. We're playing Georgia and Wisconsin and VCU. Wow. So, you know, we've really established a great schedule. We have our Big East meetings next week. So, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is going from 20 games to 18. You know, we're talking about a lot of different things. It's maybe so you can open up a couple more high-level non-league games for some of the teams that are trying to get at large.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's the right answer or not, but we'll have that discussion. So, you know, I know we're talking about how to, you know, maybe develop not a rivalry, but something with another conference, like a challenge, like us with the
Big 10 ACC challenge. Yeah, there you go.
So we're trying that. We have some great leaders in the Big East that are always, you know, obviously Val Ackman's amazing, but even her staff does a great job. Pam Flanke, who does women's basketball. We're trying to look at different ways so we can get, this year we got four teams in, and obviously Marquette went to the Sweet 16 at NIT. We went to the finals. We had six great postseasons, but we want to get five, six teams in NCAAs. And I think we can. I mean, Creighton proved it this year. You know, you just get in, you get the right opportunities. You make some great plays at the end of the game like Creighton did. I mean, Coach Flannery is an amazing coach. And they went to the Elite Eight. And then obviously, you know, you look at Villanova, has one of the best players in the country, Maddie Segrist, and Denise does a great job, and they won a game in the round, and they went to a round of 32. And, you know, obviously DePaul is DePaul, and obviously Connecticut. You know, people like Connecticut had a rough year. You know, they played the national championship game. I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, Coach Wariyama and his staff are, they're honestly, they couldn't be nicer and they couldn't be more welcoming all the time to me in my life. And they represent our conference great. To have them in our league, we're lucky. And obviously we have some other teams that are just doing well and are going to bounce back. I think St. John's going to have a really good year. They did a great job recruiting. New coach at Butler, he's going to do great. Xavier has some great young kids, and Providence is, you know, one of the best coach teams, you know, around. And, you know, we have a really good league. It's going to be really hard. Georgetown's got some good young kids. We're going to have a really, really good league again.
Yeah. Well, Coach, all those teams sound great, but I think my money is on you and Coach Jack. So
Thank you.
Everyone, look out for Seton Hall Women's Basketball. Coach Tony, thanks so much for joining us. It's always so awesome to talk to you. We just appreciate the work that you're doing, and we will support you throughout the season. But good luck with everything. Safe travels recruiting, and go find the next grit guard, maybe not from New Jersey, because we got to branch out a little bit.
Love to see it.
And Isis, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care.
See you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.